We are going to be talking with Cynthia Borgen. She's director of Beltrami County Public Health, and she last talked with us around the end of July, and now it's the end of September. It's 2 months later, and she's going to fill us in about the free testing in Bemidji today and tomorrow and give us an update. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's start with the COVID-19 testing that's going on at the Armory in Bemidji. Tell us about it.
Right. Well, so the Minnesota Department of Health, the State Emergency Operations Center, and the National Guard have brought up staff and expertise and supplies and set up yesterday at the Armory. We had 403 people go through and be tested yesterday. So we're excited about that. The site will operate today and tomorrow, as you mentioned, from noon until 6.
Who should go to be tested?
Well, this is an opportunity for all those folks who are just curious. I think, you know, we've just started school. There's been lots of large rallies in the community. People who are concerned that they might currently have COVID, this is an opportunity for folks even who don't know that they've been in contact with someone who's positive or don't have symptoms. This is their chance to go and get tested.
And this is kind of big news because, as far as I know, this is the first time that free testing like this has been available in the Bemidji community.
It is. We had talked about offering community testing back in July when we were having a big surge, but by the time we started to really think it through, our numbers seemed to be moderated again. And from the people that we talked to, most folks who needed to be testing were able to access testing in the community. This is part of the governor's surge of testing. We're one of 26 sites across the state that's offering testing. They started last week and will go for a couple more weeks, just to make sure that people who are concerned about their COVID status have the ability to go in and get tested without worrying about insurance or any other thing like that.
What can people expect when they go to the Armory today?
So they'll drive up, they'll be directed as to where to park, they'll walk around to the back of the facility and get in one of two lines. If they're registered already, they'll kind of go through and just check in quick. If they have not pre-registered, then they'll take care of that and move people through. As I said, there's two lanes that people will go through. They'll have a seat, and a trained health professional will take a little swab and swab out the inside of both nostrils. So it's not the one that reaches way deep into your nasal cavity. So they swab out the nostrils, they take a little bit of information from you so that they can reach you, and then the folks are on their way. They need to leave a phone number and or email address. Then the tests are all packaged up, sent down to either the University of Minnesota or to Mayo for processing. And then as soon as those results are known, if it's a positive, someone will give them a call and let them know that they're positive, let them know what they need to do around isolating themselves and around identifying kind of who their close contacts are and encouraging those folks to quarantine. Those who are negative will get either a text message or an email where there's a link that they can go to verify that those are indeed their results. That's all it takes.
What kind of turnaround time can we expect?
They work really hard to get everybody's results back within 48 hours. Typically 72 hours, it seems to be about the latest that they go. By having a partnership with the two different labs, they can send the test to whichever lab has the most capacity for testing right now so that they can try to get things done quickly. But their goal is to always get those results back to people within 48 hours.
Is there any plan to repeat this in communities across the state?
Well, there's always that potential. There's another strategy that the governor has going where he's setting up 10 what they're calling semi-permanent sites where they'll be doing using saliva as the testing medium. So far, they've got one of those set up in Duluth, and they'll be looking at a variety of other locations across the state to set those up, and those will operate for several months.
Do you know if, say, the saliva test is less true or
sensitive or specific?
Yeah, that's the word I need. Yeah.
Yep. Well, they've been working with Vault's lab that has come up with this way of testing. I mean, as we've seen with COVID, this is something brand new, and so a variety of laboratories have been working on developing a variety of tests. Vault Labs came up with this way of using saliva. The tests appear to be very accurate. When they actually take the test, it's a monitored test, but there's no, the individual just spits into a funnel, which goes into a little tube, but it is monitored so that they can instruct the individual about just how to do it to help make sure that they get the right amount or the right mix. I don't really know. But the state is working on opening up a lab next month. Right now, the specimens are all sent out to the Vault lab, but in another month, we'll have a lab available here, and by then, the plan is that these other 9 sites will have been opened up, and that will also then increase kind of ongoing testing. So back to the original question about whether we'll do additional community testing here, it really depends on what our situation looks like.
I've heard about things called rapid tests. What are they, and are they available?
So rapid tests are available at healthcare facilities. So Sanford, Red Lake, they have at least one, if not two, different types of rapid tests available, which they use for individuals that they're concerned, may need to be hospitalized. Yeah. When folks go into the hospital, the healthcare facilities, of course, want to make sure that they know if they have COVID so they can institute the appropriate precautions. So for individuals who show up at the hospital who are quite sick, they may get a rapid test at whatever facility they show up at. And those have not shown to be quite as specific as the PCR test, the one that they have to send away to the labs, but they seem to work very well for the purposes that they're used.
Kind of for the first time, both Maggie and I are seeing or knowing, people in the community now that are COVID positive and actually have symptoms. What are you seeing for our community?
Well, our numbers have really ramped up this last couple weeks. We had 80 positive cases last week. That was the highest case number that we've had ever. And we're continuing to see those numbers ramping up. And we would have expected that. September is one of those months where a lot of people change their patterns. They move from that summer pattern to the fall pattern. And that means they're mixing with a lot of different people. We know that it's out there in the community, and so as you mix with new groups of people, everyone's exposed. And so if you're not careful with your physical distancing and wearing masks and keeping up with your hand hygiene, you'll be exposed, and there's a chance that you would contract COVID.
We are talking with Cynthia Borgen, Director of Beltrami County Public Health. There's school starting, Labor Day happened, there's a big political rally, there have been weddings. How is the spreading taking place?
Well, we currently are working on a cluster that is associated with a wedding, and we've identified over 10 people that had been, it appears that that's where they contracted COVID. Our information is as good as what people are willing to share with us, and that's always a challenge. When we talk to people, we want to make sure that they have the information that they need to, keep themselves safe. We try to identify where they may have been exposed, and then we try to identify who they may have exposed. So we do talk about, events that they may have attended. And most of the time, people are very truthful, and they really want to help, because the way we can slow the spread is by identifying the people who've been exposed and get them into quarantine or, encourage them to self-quarantine so that they're not then exposing others. That's kind of the whole goal of what we're working on, is to keep people who maybe have been exposed from from getting out there and exposing a new group of people.
Yeah, the virus has been really politicized, and we heard a news story this morning that traditional Jewish groups in New York City they're asking other people in their group not to be tested and, you know, basically not to tell. Are people in our area, is there any of that going on, any reluctance like that?
Well, the people that I work with are the people that are coming in and getting tested.
Yeah, so you're seeing the exact opposite.
So, well, but again, you know, I would have to imagine that there are people who are concerned. I mean, the numbers that we have are used for planning for our schools, for our long-term care facilities. So we, of course, would hope that we have the most accurate numbers that we can so that we can plan for this. I think what we've heard is people say, well, if nobody knows, then we can continue to operate like we want. The problem is that this disease can make people really sick. And that's the concern, is that if some folks continue to go out and about when they're symptomatic and they could potentially have COVID, they might be exposing other people who are at really high risk for, you know, negative health outcomes.
Mm-hmm. How does Beltrami County, you know, you said the numbers were really up. How is it comparing to, say, the state as a whole in where the numbers are going?
Well, we're one of many counties who's experiencing a surge of cases right now. The number of cases across the state is at a record high. We're also at a record high. So we're right in there with many other counties.
So do you ever get tired of telling people to mask up and stay 6 feet apart and wash our hands?
Well, I wish I had, you know, a new and exciting way to share those requests, but we really don't. I mean, people need to be thoughtful about, you know, making decisions every day about whether their behaviors are riskier for contracting COVID or are lower risk. I mean, we'd always encourage people to avoid large crowds, you know, try to hang out with the same groups of people, really work on, you know, that social distancing is a critical component, and masking is one that overall I see people, you know, are really trying to follow that, and that appears to really be helping. Again, one thing that we see in our numbers is that there's a lot of transmission that happens within households, and there's really not good ways to do that. I mean, you need to be close to your family, and it's really challenging. And it's, you know, it's no one's fault that they contract COVID. What we would ask is, if they are symptomatic, that they, you know, find out if it is COVID, and if it is, that then they do their best to stay isolated. If they've exposed their family, then you need to keep your family home and quarantine your family members. And it's hard to do. And, I mean, even I had a concern that I was exposed at a large family gathering over the summer. And, you know, was potentially symptomatic. And it's like, oh, I can't go to work. I have to work from home and get a COVID test. And so I did those things. And it was really hard. It's hard to take those steps because you know, everyone needs to go to work and you want your life to be normal, but this is a pandemic. And when we look back to the last, you know, major global pandemic we had with, even going back to the, you know, pandemic flu that we had in 1918 and 1919, it took a couple years to work your way through it. Mm-hmm. And many people died, and we're there. So until, you know, it's going to be another year before everyone has access to a vaccine that can help us get to a point where we can go back to a little bit more normal. So, it is a real challenge. It's just not normal times right now. We have to be a little more careful. And what we're seeing is there's just a lot of COVID out there. It spreads readily. And, if to protect yourself, you need to avoid crowds and wear your mask.
Do you think the precautions people are taking with COVID will have an impact on influenza that will be starting to ramp up just seasonally?
Well, we really hope so. It appears that that's what happened in the Southern Hemisphere, where they had, at least in the spring, they had pretty low rates of flu. But things were shut down pretty tight during that time. Influenza is even, and I guess I was going to say it's more contagious, but I guess I don't know that for sure. We certainly hope that the behaviors that people are practicing to avoid spreading COVID will also help spread influenza. But with the flu, we have a vaccine. And it's not, you know, totally, we have maybe a 50 to 60% rate of that vaccine, you know, helping flu from spreading. I got my flu shot this week. I encourage everyone to get a flu shot. If we can ramp up that rate of flu vaccines, that will help to avoid having people be sick with both flu and COVID. That could really stress our healthcare system if we can't keep people from getting the flu.
Is the capacity in Beltrami County, I know Sanford is the hospital here, how are they doing in terms of capacity, say, in the hospital or ICU for treating people?
Well, early on, they made some major changes to their hospital. They changed the fourth floor so that it's available for holding many more patients in ICU than what they used to have. So right now, what we've seen is we have residents from around the region who are being hospitalized in Sanford because, again, they've established a floor where they can appropriately take care of a large number of patients who need those extra COVID precautions, but also need, you know, some who need that intensive care as well because of the serious outcomes of COVID.
You know, this is so hard because we want to spend time with our families. We want to mark passages like weddings and funerals. And it's very hard to stay, you know, on your toes all the time. And I think people are maybe just getting a little bit worn out. But these numbers are concerning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I'm getting a little bit worn out.
Of course.
But there are ways to do it. I mean, I know several people who have had weddings, and there hasn't been any transmission that's occurred. I mean, we know enough about the disease that if things are set up appropriately and people are reminded about, you know, wearing their masks. I mean, I have seen some pretty fancy masks that people have developed to, you know, just try to get into the recognition that we need to wear them. Let's make them be something that's fun to wear. So yeah, it is a real challenge, but this is, you know, this is not normal time. This is COVID pandemic time, and it's going to be a little while. We're still going to need to work our way through it, and it's hard for everyone.
That's Cynthia Borgen. She's director of Beltrami County Public Health. Cynthia, thank you for keeping us informed, and I hope a lot of folks take advantage of the free testing. Again, what time is that today and tomorrow?
So today, Wednesday, and tomorrow, Thursday, at the Armory from noon until 6 p.m.
And a question on that, Cynthia. If you haven't pre-registered, can you still just show up as a walk-in?
You can. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I encourage everyone to get out there.
Thank you for talking with us today. I hope we can check in again.
All right. That sounds good. Thanks so much.